On March 19th, 2005, 4 years after my mother died, she started coming back. She didn't appear for the first few years. My dreams were full of other people dying, but she just wasn't there. In March 2005, she made her first appearance in my dreams. She told me she'd been travelling. On July 15th, she'd just been in Ghana, working for an NGO. On September 20th, she'd been in the Middle East and become an alcoholic. In May, she'd been shipwrecked on a desert island. December 2006. We move home and sell the house that we lived in with her. But in my dreams, she wakes up from a long coma and comes to live with us in the new flat. No one else seems surprised that she's back. In all these dreams, there's a distance between us that hadn't existed when she was alive. She's more secretive. She won't explain where she's been or why she's been gone for so long. On November 15th, 2009, we're on the train together, and she's made another miracle recovery. She's warm and affectionate again, closer to her old self. I feel so lucky she's back, and have no doubts she's going to be around from now on. We're just chatting, and after a while I fall asleep. When I wake up, it's my stop, but not hers. I'd suddenly realised I wasn't going to see her again.
Okay, I'll just whilst you're fixing that up. How wonderful to have that after Jess's earlier piece. And I was careful not to say what the film was about because I wanted it to speak for itself. It is, of course, the dreams that have come after the 10 years after your mother's death, and it's the Onironauts, as you saw, the dream travellers.
You know, they happen to you from the start, and not once did you pull them.
Cool. Okay.
That wasn't a dream. Wasn't a dream traveller.
Shall I? I'm happy to hold that. Can you hear me? Is that okay? So I was keeping a dream journal anyway for like since I was like early teens probably, and then when I kind of looked back over it and noticed there was this pattern, like there had been a change, clear change in the kinds of dreams I had. And I just got really. Maybe I will just use that mic. Yeah.
Please use that. That's just going to be as well. Sorry, I'm going to have to pack the buffer.
If you keep it to you, don't need to keep it. Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Can you still hear me? Yeah, so, and I just got really interested in how my brain had tried to come up with all these different solutions and reasons in my dreams for why she wasn't there, because it was obviously just something that took me years and years to process. And even though at the end I kind of probably sound like I've processed it, that was, I think, just a momentary, you know, real realization that probably didn't last. And actually interesting talking about linear and tidal this morning, because I think for the film I had to, there was a linearity to my dreams, but I probably made more of it because you need to do that in a film to like, for it to make sense. But the tidal thing really makes sense to me. And actually now I'm pregnant at the moment and my new piece is about being pregnant without a mother and that whole new tide of another like wave of mourning. Cause it just, there's always something that like big things will just always trigger it, I suppose. But maybe just so we have time for questions, I'll just...
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you said that you kept a dream journal from when you were a teenager, so I'm just curious what's the connection for you with becoming a filmmaker then afterwards with...
Yeah, I don't. Making dream journals were just something that ran in my family, actually. And my granddad had a noctuary, which he indexed, and I actually made a whole film about that. So yeah, that was.
You have not lost that.
The dream? No, no. He died earlier this year, and I now have his noctuaries. Yeah. I suppose like a certain analysis.
Is film and dream related? Are they related? Sorry, the word is now gone from me. Disciplines, in a sense?
Yeah, I think they must be something about processing, trying to make sense of things. And then for me, they're really linked because lots of my work has been about dreams, looking at dreams through films and radio. I don't know what the fascination is. I think partly it's because we're told that it's not something we should talk about. You know, it's like, oh, it's boring. Maybe I've slightly reacted against that. You know, like, oh, no one wants to hear about your dreams kind of thing. Yeah. That's what I was told. Anyone else have any questions? Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I just wondered if when you're depicting your dreams in your film work, if they change, and if so, how do they change?
Well, I'm making something. When I made that, I stopped having dreams about my mum. And this was actually something that came after a longer piece that was about how different people in my family's dreams had changed after she died, including my granddad with his nuptry. And yeah, I really noticed that she disappeared. And maybe I'd been hoping for more like resolution in the dreams while I was looking at them in the film. But for some reason, yeah, that stopped for quite a while.
And I guess when I'm sort of alluding to is your relationship to your dreams as well, so yeah. How that changes.
Well, I suppose if I'm making, like with that, I was probably waking up like, oh, I hope I've got some thing to put in the film, you know, maybe something that's like a neat ending for the film. Yeah. Yeah. So you're kind of, yeah, there's more hanging on them right. If you're working on them, I suppose. Okay. Yeah.
I was wondering, since you're pregnant, have you had different dreams? What sort of
dreams? Yeah. I've had, the other thing that I've made about dreams was something about nightmares during pregnancy that I made recently that was about, because there was a study that showed that women have more nightmares in the third trimester than at any other time. So, yeah, I've had dreams, and I very much feel like the dreams with my mum, that they're trying to, like, get me prepared for something, like, bit of a rehearsal, and, yeah, just, like, something that seems unmanageable as a big change, that, that they're kind of helping me do that, I think.
To what extent did you perceive a truth to the dreams, and did that bring comfort in your grieving process?
A truth to the dream. I suppose what they did was just keep reinforcing that she's not here, and in a way that was quite helpful, I think, because I was kind of facing up to that, yeah, in the dreams. So that truth, even though they weren't actually true, because they were, you know, she hadn't died in any of them. Usually there was some other reason she wasn't there. But something about that still, the basic truth that she isn't here, I think I began to get a bit more used to that, thanks to them, yeah.
Well, I wish we had, I'm sorry we don't have more time, but things might come up later. I think in everything we've heard this morning and just now, there's been something about shaping, we were talking about this earlier. There's been something about giving shape to experiences which are very difficult and unshaped to begin with, whether it's in the consulting room, in poems, in films, in the photographic art with the piercing of holes, which is very important, and so on. So it's a delight, actually, and thank you very, very much for adding your bit to that.